Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 18th day of September 2018. You know, the Lord is utterly amazing with his sovereign acts of providence. I, as many of my listeners know, right now, because of my Facebook posts, I am battling a deep depression right now, and have been for the last several days. And it's just utterly amazing to me that several weeks ago, without knowledge of this being my state of mind today, we had already booked an interview for today with Kyle White. He is a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, highly recommended by my dear friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. Kyle White is pastor of Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas. And we are going to be addressing today the dark night of the soul, the case, and the cure. And it's because our guest today has taken his journey through this dark night himself, has actually written a journal on it, and is going to be sharing passages or entries from that journal today with us so that we may all benefit from the pain that the Lord has brought him through. And it's my great honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Kyle White.
Hey, Brother Chris, thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
Well, before we go into your personal testimony of salvation, which, as you know, is something we do when we have first-time guests on the program, typically anyway, tell us about Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas.
Well, we are a church established in 1983. I'm the second pastor, and we're a relatively small church. Our membership is around 50 members, and attendance would be more than that on a Sunday, but we refer to ourselves as Sovereign Grace Baptist Church because that really is a point of emphasis. We would subscribe loosely anyway to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. By that, I'm really saying we're not what is called full subscriptionists, but we do mark that as the historical confession that we would relate to. And we have a burden to reach the world. We have evangelism and missions is a big focus in our church, and we work together, labor together to accomplish the task of taking the gospel to the world.
Well, we will be, God willing, announcing the website later, but just in case I forget, our website for this church is cbcweb.net, cbcweb.net. Well, if you could now, before we go into our major theme here on the dark night of the soul, I would appreciate it if you could give our listeners a summary of your testimony of salvation, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances the Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and eventually saved you.
Yeah. Well, brother, I think that my testimony of salvation is really a significant part of the whole story, even into the dark night of the soul. I was raised in a very, very conservative, what would be considered a strict environment where the gospel was proclaimed. My parents were believers and were very concerned about how we were raised as a family. We had daily devotions as a family, a very committed family and relationship to the Lord. My father eventually became a pastor, so I was under his ministry, under his preaching ministry. I had, at the age of 7 years old, made a public display of salvation, or at least I went forward and was baptized, and without going into all the details, it was genuine as far as I understood genuineness at that time, but there really wasn't the soul reality to it. And at about the age of 12, as I continued to live like a Christian, I'm sure that others probably thought that I was a Christian, but it just hit me one evening, and this is not a fantastic story, except that what's fantastic about it is God didn't leave me in a place of religion. He struck me one night as actually upon my bed at night and just hit me with the reality that I was not saved. I was yet in my sin. And I called upon the Lord that night all by myself, just cried out to him to save me. And the result of that has been demonstrated through my life, that he did hear and that he did save me. I wasn't baptized. That was about 12 years old. I wasn't baptized till I was 15, because I was, folks assumed that I was a Christian, so I just kept that assumption going until when I was 15, I talked to my dad and I said, "Dad, you know, the scripture says faith is supposed to precede baptism." So, I did not truly believe until just a couple of years ago, "I think I should be baptized." And so he said that was my decision that I needed to make, and I did. And I distinctly remember that at 15 years old, going out into the lake with my dad and the church, in the context of the church, with Spring Pines Baptist Church in Hartsville, South Carolina. And I announced my relationship to Christ there before those that were gathered. And since then, you know, from that time all the way up until the event that we're going to be looking at, was it was just a matter of me growing and progressing and learning. And I was brought up under the doctrines, what we call the doctrines of grace. It wasn't something that I came to. I grew up under that. I had my doctrinal T's crossed and I's dotted, it seemed, correctly, and I had a lot of other things that were right in my life and then into my marriage. But then the wheels fell off in my late 40s. But I don't know if you want me to go right into that.
Well, you know what I'd like you to do? I would like you to go right into that in a minute. But I would like you to define for our listeners the phrase, the dark night of the soul. There's something unique about that. It's not just your average depression. It's not just feeling melancholy, sad. This is something very unique, and if you could define what you mean by the dark night of the soul.
Yeah. It is a season in which, very simply put, it seems that God has departed. And it seems as if it seems that everything is an effort. Every act that once was engaged in with some measure of zeal and some measure of satisfaction, and it just becomes an absolute struggle. Reading the scriptures, praying, even though one who is truly converted, I believe, continues in those things because they know they must struggle, as you'll hear in my testimony. But it just seems that God is gone, and to the point of even wondering if indeed he has, and he has just left me for good, left you for good, and then a state of confusion, I've called it, I learned a word during that time that was called discombobulated. And essentially, like flying a plane in the clouds, you don't know which way is up, down, you don't know where you are. And the things that you thought and that you that were true and that you stood for, you defended, began to sort of slip away. Oh, but it's a horrible, horrible place.
Well, you can go right into your story now. And by the way, I want to quickly just give our listeners our email address if they want to send in questions. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand that this topic, above probably most others, will lend itself to people perhaps wanting to ask personal and private questions. But if it's not one of those circumstances, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. But if you could continue now, brother.
Okay, well, Chris, I do think it's important for me to state that I am not addressing the kinds of depression that are set on by some sort of medical or physical reason. That's another category. I'm not addressing medical issues here. This is something that's, I don't even know that I should compare. I'll just say that this is something that is distinct from that, but it could happen in conjunction with that. And so for myself, it wasn't just, mine was circumstantial. There were things that occurred in my life, and it was sort of a repetitive thing that happened over a number of years, and it was a family issue, domestic-related issue, and I'm not going to go into the details of that. But it eventually, in 2009, an event occurred that has been described by someone else who was helping me during that season. It was like running into a brick wall, being hit by a Mack truck, and being laid out on the ground and unable to get up. And emotionally, that's where I ended up. I have some entries here in my journal that might be helpful. In September of 2009, I said this. This is the morning of the fifth day. Jody and I have been on our sabbatical. The church allowed me a season to sort of step away. We have been isolated from familiar faces and ministry, but not from familiar attacks of evil thoughts and moments of despair. My mind has battled nearly constantly. At times I seem to be gaining victory, and then some fiery dart comes hard. Faith seems very, very weak at times. I have considered at moments just giving up. I trust it's the Spirit of God within that will not let me. My hope is entirely in my risen Christ who intercedes for me. Without him, I am nothing and cannot win. This morning began with intense mental soul conflict. And then in 2010, another entry, and I'm just sort of giving an overview of the season, if that's all right.
Of course.
I'm turning to another page here in the journal, and this would be in January of 2010. It seems I have been in a daily battle to continue in faith. So this has been going on for months. Some days have been almost unbearable. I cry unto the Lord sometimes with very little confidence, and he gives me sufficient to survive. I long to thrive with deep confidence that I know cannot be shaken by any argument. God's word continues to be life to my soul. Prayer has been difficult, but necessary. And then another in a few months later in May, and I'm apologize working with one hand flipping pages here, but it has been a long time since I have enjoyed a season of deep soul peace, free from haunting and disturbing questions relating to my faith in Christ and his life in me. I feel the battle intensely much of the time. I'm thankful that I still have hope in him, which indicates to me that he has not forsaken me. I am seeking strength from him. I am seeking to lay hold of eternal life and leave mysteries alone. And skipping into 2011, February of 2011, there is this entry. As I pray, I confess to God that I feel like I'm still recovering from this long, dark, hard season in which my faith has been sorely tried. I love him, but feel that I come very short in demonstrating the love he deserves. I still am affected negatively at times with questions of theological nature that do not have answers that satisfy me. By the way, that was one of the deep problems that, and I'll address that maybe a little bit more later, but another entry 5 days later in February, Lord, my life is yours to do with me and mine as you please. You have given and you have every right to take away or to do with me as you please. I believe you promised that you intend good and not evil. You clearly demonstrated that by sending your son into the world to live and die the most humiliating death, but at the same time conquering death by way of resurrection. Thank you for showing mercy to me. You can kind of see a movement and a better direction as I kind of go through this overview of this period of time. In 2011, July, if this past 2 years is to be considered a trial of faith or a crisis of faith, it has been long, deep, and difficult. Often it has been almost more than I can handle. I'm learning that this may be God's point to me. He is showing me that without Jesus, I am nothing. My need is greater than I realize. I'm not sufficient to succeed in the Christian life. I need grace, much grace, God's grace in Jesus Christ. And then skipping into 2012, March of 2012, so this is nearly a year later. Wow, it has been 2 months since my last entry. My attitude has changed over this time. I'm learning to be content in whatever state I am in. I am seeing God's goodness everywhere in ways I didn't seem able to see before. All is not bleak. And then in another entry in July of the next year, this is another year later, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. How my mind and affection enter into this expression of truth. At times, faith has been very weak, and life seemed almost gone. But my poor soul has been sustained by my merciful Father because of his Son and my Savior. Though unbelief is all around me, my soul is safe and stable due to his sustaining grace. He will not let me go. I don't want to go. To whom shall I go? He is my salvation, my joy, my strength. I will trust in him and be glad. And then one other, just looking at this overview, on June 19th, 2013, my journey to the celestial city continues. My struggles of faith are not what they once were. I'm very thankful to my loving Savior for keeping me and restoring my soul. I have walked through very dark and long valleys, but I am now enjoying a season of refreshment in my soul. And maybe that's, I conclude with, to God be the glory, he is good. And brother, that's one of the things that I could not say. I had a fellow elder here, and thankful I had the fellow elder, and it sort of skipping ahead, but I'll just drop this thought in here, that would say to me through the darkest of times, every time he would see me, he would say, brother, God is good. And I would look at him, and sometimes, and I'm ashamed to say it, but sometimes I got angry. Because, frankly, I could see no goodness. It was dark. But he kept reminding me. And I am thankful that now, I mean, it's now 2018, I can say with every cup. Then I said it. I preached it. God is good. But it was a statement of faith. I knew it was so, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't sense it. I couldn't feel it. My affections were cut off from it. And I'm thankful that now, my story's very different. I not only see it and can say it by faith, I feel that God is good.
Praise God. So
there's the overview.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that is a dilemma, I'm sure you would agree, at times. At least it's a dilemma to explain it to people or to even comprehend it in our minds. We who are believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace, sometimes we don't know whether to blame Satan for something that we're going through. Sometimes we think that something is coming directly to us as a chastisement or a punishment from God.
But the thing
that we have to remind ourselves at all times is that even if Satan is attacking us, our loving and merciful and gracious God is permitting that to happen for a reason that he may only know, and we may never know, especially this side of glory. But how do you balance these things out in your mind? Obviously, even when we look at the circumstances with Job, every time Satan attacked Job in various ways, it was only by the permission of our sovereign God.
Sure. No question about that. And I want to say more specifics about some of the sins that I came to see during that season when we talk about the cure. As I think about the experience, the case of the deserted soul, I'm convinced that when you're going through a dark season like that, it's hard to analyze. It's hard to know. And I can say things on the other side of it. I can speak with more clarity now than I could have then, but I was wrestling with, I didn't know what all I was wrestling with. I got an entry here, for example, October 6th, and this would be 2009. Seems I have wrestled all night with demons of unbelief. I refer to it just as demons of it's something that I had never experienced before. And I say in here, I thought I was beyond this, yet it came back with full force last night. Doubts about God, the gospel, everything that should be sources of peace. Miserable night. Oh, God, have mercy upon my soul. And that's where I was in my wrestlings. I think when a person is in this condition, they are questioning everything. I question whether I was really a believer. I mean, here's an entry that same month. Continue to have strong battles in my mind and soul regarding my own relation to God. If I have a relationship with God, why am I going through this, you know? I say, I believe, but too many questions of unbelief flood my mind. Are these fiery darts from the enemy? Or are these my own reasonings? In either case, they are very troubling. And so those kinds of, you know, there were theological struggles that came. And just not understanding. I mean, I would turn to the truths that I knew to be true, but they didn't help me. here's an entry. Suffered great battle of depressed spirit last evening. This was January of 2010. Thoughts of dissatisfaction with God's purpose to save only a few seem to haunt me. I'm struggling. I mean, these are things that I had all my theological arguments in place. But it was like all of those theological arguments melted away, and they didn't help me. And I'm just painting the case here, you know. That's where I was, and I imagine there are others who struggle with this. The answers that once seemed clear and satisfactory now seem to trouble me. What is at the root of this? One thing I know, I cannot make anyone believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, so I must preach the gospel and be satisfied with the results. I'm finding emotional difficulty in this. Help me, Lord. And that, you know, those were kind of recurring themes, and there were times of just utter desperation. Will this season ever end? I am tormented by doubts concerning God in my soul. Is there a way out? I feel trapped. I want to know the presence of Christ in my soul. I feel abandoned. I'm told to walk by faith, but I'm getting weary. Hear my cries, O Lord. please bring peace to my soul. And so I realize that the question, the natural question perhaps from some is, why would God allow his children to go through something like that? Like you said, even if Satan is on the firing line and he's has his bullseye on you, he's God's Satan. God created him. And so these were things that I struggled with. And when you're going through this dark season, frankly, there's not too many theological answers, at least in my case. There weren't too many theological answers that seemed to satisfy. And so the struggle was intense. Desperation.
Do you think that because of the fact, and, you know, somebody will always wind up accusing me of broad brushing, no matter what I say, but those of us who are theologically Calvinistic, Reformed, sovereign grace believers, however you want to phrase it, we tend to be more concerned with preciseness when it comes to doctrine and theology. We seem to think that that doctrine is, and of course, we're not incorrect in thinking this, but we seem to be above others, typically, more concerned that every jot and tittle is correct in our thinking. And of course, sometimes, because we are sinners, sometimes that leads to an over-judgmental spirit about those who disagree with us on comparatively minor issues, non-salvific issues. But of course, you know, every effort to, by the Spirit's guidance and through study, to be theologically as pure as humanly possible, that's a noble and good thing. But do you think that because of that very characteristic of a typical Calvinist, if you will, that is why, during your dark night of the soul, it was theology that was a part of the thing that was tormenting you?
I can tell you this. I mean, I've got some specific sins that I can point out because, I would say this, that there were and still are what I call cosmic questions that derailed me, and it was connected with circumstances in my life. It was connected with family relationships. It was connected with family members departing from the faith and connected. And so, you know, and I struggled with making sense of all of that. And so these questions would come in a haunting way. See, I can ask some of those questions now and it doesn't take me into a dark place. I can deal with them. I can even deal with them by saying, I don't know. And I can be satisfied because fundamentally, I believe the fundamental reason is that my attitude toward God is what it ought to be. And I believe that my attitude toward God got out of, the foundation was messed up. My attitude toward God was wrong during that season. And that had to be straightened out. And God had to teach me some things. And I think he did. I preached recently on God hiding his face. The scriptures actually say a lot about that. And it's something that some folks don't want to allow as a possibility, but the scriptures say too much about it to say it can't be. But one thing that Spurgeon said is when God hides his face from his people, it's almost always behind clouds of dust which they have made themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw that in 2018, that quote. Had I seen that quote earlier, that may have helped me. because, you know, I was wrestling, I was struggling with the why of it all. But, brother, ultimately, I am convinced that what I went through was a trial of faith. I believe it was a crisis of faith. And maybe I'll just say this. Every situation is different. And like you say, broad brushing this subject is probably not healthy. But I am convinced that every true believer will face a crisis of faith. And, or I would prefer to use the Peter's language, a trial of faith. And I used to think that that was sort of a, you know, I have an economic problem or I have a physical problem. How am I going to get past this? This is such a trial. Well, I wish that's what, I'm not minimizing those sorts of trials, but when you've been through something extremely deep that goes to the very core of your soul and who you are, and this faith that you have always professed and held to, and it's all seems to be crumbling down, crumbling around you, and seems to be evaporating. That right there is a trial. And Spurgeon said also, and I can't. Someone may be able to bring up the quote, but he said something to this effect: if you go through a crisis of faith at the beginning of your Christian life, you probably will never go through it again. But if you didn't go through it in the beginning, in other words, if you were just, if entering the kingdom seemed like sort of an easy process, he said at some point in your journey, you're going to face a trial that's going to bring your faith to a point of crisis to show whether it's really genuine or not.
Wow. We have to go to our first break right now. And once again, if anybody would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And of course, as always, you may remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter that you are asking. But if it's not personal and private, if it's just a general question on this subject, then please at least give us your first name, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away, God willing. We'll be right back with Pastor Kyle White and The Dark Night of the Soul.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org. Two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted. My friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget to continue to pray for my dear friend Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books. As many of my listeners know, he had very serious, very complicated, and dangerous open heart surgery not long ago. He is thankfully, praise be to God, home recovering. Things seem to be going well and according to plan. But please continue to pray for him because he's not out of the woods yet. He is still in a period of recovery that is touch and go, if you will. So please continue to pray that he is quickly raised up by our great physician, Jesus Christ, to fullness of strength, health, and vitality, and not only physically, but that he is a healthier person spiritually than he ever has been before as a result of this trial that our loving and merciful and gracious God has placed him in. So please keep Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, in your prayers. We will keep you updated on his recovery. We are now joining once again our guest, Kyle White, and he is the pastor of Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas. We are discussing the Dark Night of the Soul, and if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I just have to make one quick announcement that I failed to do because it is a new sponsor, and being a new sponsor, I'm not used to announcing their promotional material, but the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is our latest sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I am planning on being there, God willing, for their conference coming up on Saturday, October 6th, and Sunday, October 7th, at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church on 1250 Colonial Road in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The theme of the conference is Why the Reformation Still Matters. And the speaker is Mike Abendroth. Many of our listeners to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program may remember Mike Abendroth as a guest on this program a number of times. He is an author. He is a popular conference speaker amongst Sovereign Grace believing Christians. And he's also a pastor in Massachusetts, pastor of the Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. And the conference is Saturday, October 6th at 1 p.m., 3:20 p.m., and 4:35 p.m. And then on Sunday, October 7th at 9:15 a.m. and then again at 10:30 a.m. and then again at 6:30 p.m. For more details, you can call the Grace Bible Fellowship Church at 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229, or you could go to their website, gracebfc.com/conference. That's gracebfc, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. Now we are back with Kyle White on our theme, The Dark Night of the Soul. And we do have an anonymous listener, Pastor Kyle. The anonymous listener says, I know that you were married at this time during this dark night of the soul you experienced. I was wondering how your spouse handled this and the rest of your family, and how did your congregation handle this? Was there any negative feedback? Were they all patient with you? Was there a mixture? Please let us know.
Yeah, you know, this is the answer to that really is part of the cure, but I'll touch upon that. Actually, part of the what I was going through was I was alone as far as my family goes. And I was going through it alone. So I can't go into more detail without saying things that I really don't want to say publicly about the details, but as far as my family goes, I tried not to wear it publicly. I tried not to demonstrate it publicly. I went about my business. I did the things that I was dutiful. I didn't absent myself from meals. I didn't You know, I didn't go off and hide somewhere. So I kept on going. As far as the church goes, that's just an amazing testimony of God's grace within a church. They knew I was, the elders knew I was struggling more than anyone else because we were more closely involved in working through it that season. But I preached every week. And brother, how I did that, again, it's a testimony to the grace of God because it was putting thoughts together when you were in a season like that, depression and those, I mean, just trying to formulate ideas is almost impossible. And yet it happened. And some would say that season was some powerful preaching in the pulpit here at the church. And it was, again, it's a testimony to God's sustaining grace through it all.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program wherever you live and beyond.
And by the way, brother, if I could say, God, I don't want anything that I say to bring any kind of negative thoughts toward, you refer to him as our loving Father in heaven, our loving Heavenly Father, our kind Heavenly Father. He is that. What I'm saying is during a dark season like that, you feel disconnected and you don't see that and sense that. But one thing that was ultimately probably the most helpful thing was coming to the conclusion, and especially trying to answer the cosmic questions that created so much dust in my soul and darkness, was that God is right. Just simply God is right. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what is happening. God is right. And how will having those questions that I was struggling with answered, how will that change anything? It's not going to change God. And just having the answers to those questions just simply makes me smarter, but it doesn't change anything. And so I had to come to the place where I released many of the questions. In fact, Psalm 131 became very helpful. Lord, my heart is not haughty, proud, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And there's why I came to see that I was entering into a realm that was too high for me in my mind. And surely, the psalmist goes on to say, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. And that's where ultimately I came when I settled on this, on believing God, which kind of gets into some of the cure to this. Unbelief was at the very root of my problem. And I believe that unbelief in some form probably lies at the root of the problem of a dark night of the soul. God loves us. He loves his children. If there is a problem, it is not on his side. It's on my side. And so I came to see that. And but going through it, there were some, even before I came to that place of stability, there were some things that were very helpful, and if you want me to suggest some of those things, I can.
Sure, definitely.
Okay. This was huge. It was immensely helpful to know that my case was not isolated. And brother, depression and a dark night of the soul feels very lonely. I mean, even as I say that, I'm getting emotional because I know there are lots of folks who struggle with this. And it is a lonely place. And the question is, what's happening? And has anyone else ever felt what I'm feeling? Has anyone else struggled with what I'm struggling with? And then in my case, a pastor at that, I searched high and low. I was looking for testimonies. I was, you know, buying books. I constantly read, which was sort of an escape, because while I was reading, my mind was being occupied with something other than my own darkness. And so I read a lot of material. But what helped me, I think, more than anything, is what God has recorded for us about this whole matter. Yes, there are those who have experienced this, and God has preserved testimony of that in His Word. Psalm 10, verse 1, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" That was a real saint of God struggling. And then Psalm 13, "How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And then Psalm 22, and I know this is prophetic, a prophetic psalm, but it was something that it seems the psalmist experienced when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's the way it wasn't that every day was that deep, but were those points during the season that it was that deep. And that's the only cry that I had. I thought actually just recently occurred to me is, you know, Jesus said that while he was on the cross, bearing sin. So there was a connection to that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the bearing of sin, which indicated to me that sin was in the way. And I haven't worked all that out, you know, theologically, and I'm not going to do that here on this show, but the connection between sin and this sense of departure from God, God hasn't really forsaken any of his own. He promises that. He wouldn't do that. He says he hasn't. He says he won't. But there is this sense of departure, and we see it over and over in Scripture, and the Psalms really are full. I mean, Psalm 88, there is no, you know, there's no happy ending in Psalm 88. It's like the psalmist, the one who wrote that psalm, was left in that condition. At least for that psalm, I don't believe he's probably left there, but that's where it ended. The one prayer that was important to me was in Psalm 142. In verse 7, and I would pray this regularly, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name." I wanted to genuinely praise the name of the Lord, not just mouth it, but to really from the depths of my soul in faith, a faith that actually genuinely connected with the reality and the truth that he was worthy of praise. And I struggled with that. And so I would pray that prayer from Psalm. And this is the encouraging thing, is that God, he hasn't left us in the dark on this issue. He has given so much of his word to address this very struggle that he would allow his saints to go through, or would bring upon his saints in the context of sin, or perhaps the context of chastening. But the bottom line is, God has his eye on his children constantly.
Amen.
And that's so important to keep in mind. He has not forsaken us, though it may feel that he has.
By the way, we have a listener in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Ted, who says, "It's very odd that Pastor White should mention Psalm 131 earlier, because I've been thinking of that psalm all week for no readily apparent reason.
Interesting, yeah.
We have to go to our...
It's just those drops of truth that kept me going through the season.
We have to go to our midway break right now, and our midway break is our longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break so that they can air their own commercials and public service announcements during our program to localize it to the Lake City, Florida area. So please be patient as we take this longer than normal break and use this time to not only write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them, because we do depend on their advertising dollars to exist, but also take this time to write your questions down for Pastor Kyle White on The Dark Night of the Soul. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties.
Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. They man that phone line Monday through Friday, but typically between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And if you order a minimum of $50 of merchandise and you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, not only will you get free shipping on your entire order of $50 or more, but you'll also receive absolutely free the journalable Psalm 119 published by Reformation Heritage Books. That's the journalable Psalm 119. And make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Pastor Kyle White of Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas, and our topic, The Dark Night of the Soul, we just have some important announcements to make. This weekend, Friday, September 21st, and Saturday, September 22nd, the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is hosting the Creation and the Authority of the Bible Conference with keynote speaker Dr. Robert W. Carter of Creation Ministries International. The Friday night time is 6:30 p.m. and 8 p.m., and the Saturday night time is 1 p.m., 2:30 p.m., and 4 p.m. Dinner is served at 5:45, followed by a final session at 7 p.m., and a question and answer on Saturday. For more details on this conference, go to wotchurch.com, wotchurch.com, which stands for Word of Truth Church.com, or call 631-806-0614, 631-806-0614. Then coming up on Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th, our new sponsors, Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, are having their Reformation Conference on the theme, Why the Reformation Still Matters. That's featuring guest speaker Mike Abendroth, who is an author, a conference speaker, and a pastor at the Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. The Saturday, October 6th session begins at 1 p.m. Then they have another session at 3:20 p.m., a final session that day at 4:35 p.m. On Sunday, October 7th, their first session is at 9:15 a.m., with a second session at 10:30 a.m., and then their final session at 6:30 p.m. If you'd like more details on this conference at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, go to gracebfc.com/conference. That's Grace BFC, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. You could also call Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at 717-652-5229. 717-652-5229. God willing, I will be there, so I hope that you join me there. Then, coming up in November the 9th and the 10th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The theme is the glory of the cross, and the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. That's November 9th and the 10th at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. For more details, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. God willing, I will be there as well, manning an exhibitor's booth. So I hope to see you there. Make sure you greet me during a break at the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth there in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Then coming up in January, God willing, this will be my third year in a row manning an exhibitors booth at the G3 conference in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center. The G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this January, the theme is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. That will be held Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th. On Wednesday, January 16th, there will be a Spanish-speaking edition of the conference. But for those of you who are going to the English-speaking conference from the 17th through the 19th, speakers include Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vody Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You, Josh Bice, who is the executive director of the G3 conference, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio,
Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. If you would like to attend this conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I urge you, if you have a church, a parachurch ministry, or business that you want to promote amongst that crowd that they are expecting of between 4,000 and 5,000 people, I strongly recommend that you also register for an exhibitor's booth just like the one I will be manning at g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. As always, as I try to remind you, please never siphon money away from the regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member, and never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not something that our Lord commands you to fund or support, but if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I mentioned, if you're blessed financially above your ability to support your church and home, and you love this show, please give to us as much as you can and as often as you can at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you'd like to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here. By the way, if you do not have a church home, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" or something similar in the subject line. Because if you're not a member of a Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. So please allow me to help you, by God's grace, rectify that situation, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I've already helped a number of people find churches near them all over the world. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That is the same email address where you can send a question to our guest, Pastor Kyle White of Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas, on the dark night of the soul, which is our subject today. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we have a question from Kathy in Mastic, Long Island, New York. And Kathy says, "I understand the reality of spiritual battles that attack a believer's heart, soul, and mind. I also understand that oftentimes medical conditions contribute to depression, such as hypothyroidism. Did Pastor White at any time seek a medical evaluation for a condition that may have exacerbated his depression? Thank you." And that's Kathy from Mastic, Long Island, New York. Pastor Kyle? Pastor Kyle, are you there? Well, it looks like...
Okay. Oh, am I there now?
Yes, you are. You got me nervous there.
I must have pushed the mute button or something because I was talking.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I heard the question, and I did go to a physician that was willing to recommend antidepressants. I didn't, you know, any of the blood work that I've ever had done, there's never been anything that has shown up that would point to a physical problem. As I said at the outset of the show, I do believe that's possible. But, and I would encourage people, even who are going through what I'm referring to as a dark night of the soul, I would encourage them to get examined medically, and not to ignore the physical dimension to this thing. Personally, I never took anything because I wanted to learn everything God wanted to teach me through the season. That's just the approach that I took, and I did exercise. I ride my bike. I daily tried to stay active because I know that's a significant part to at least affecting the moods, and I ate healthily, So I did those kinds of things, practical things, and would encourage that of anyone. Even if the root is not necessarily some medical problem, those are still important things.
Great. Well, thank you, Kathy. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keep spreading the word in Mastic, Long Island, and beyond. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, when David said, why hast thou forsaken me? And later, many years later, Jesus Christ echoed those same words while dying on Calvary's cross. Were either of them mistaken? According to what you said earlier, God never forsakes those who are truly his own. Can you please explain both David's crying out to God with those words and then, more importantly, our Lord Jesus Christ saying the same thing?
Okay. Do we have a good connection, brother? You're chopping up on me.
Really?
Yeah.
We do have a good connection as far as I can hear. I'm sorry about that.
All right. First of all, there is the perception of being forsaken, and then there's the reality of being forsaken. And frankly, I threw out that idea, as I said earlier, without having fully developed the thought, which is always a dangerous thing to do. But as far as Christ on the cross, there was he was bearing in the stead of sinners the weight of the guilt of our sin and bearing the wrath of God, which would have been total separation from God forever. So he was bearing that in a way that David was not. David was not bearing anything for anyone. And so there's a distinct difference between the two. But my suggestion was that sin was related. In both cases, sin was involved. Sin was the issue. And I'm suggesting that in David's case, we know of sin in his life, and we know of his various times where he spoke of the impact of sin upon his life. And so I'm suggesting that that's possibly what was provoking the cry there in Psalm 22, but I won't divide over that.
Well, thanks, Bobby, and keep listening in Hartsdale, New York, and spreading the word about the program there and beyond. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, you said earlier that you believe the root of the problem, and forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, but that you had unbelief or lack of faith. I'm assuming you do not mean that this in the ultimate sense of being an unbeliever. How did you actually mean that phrase?
That's if I can answer that by reading several inserts from my journal, that might be helpful. Would you mind me doing that?
Oh, I would never mind you doing that. Go ahead.
Okay. Because that really is one of the key things that I want to get across. There was the identification of sin that I can see as I work through my journal took place. It went from kind of woe is me, I'm in this dark place, and what's happening, to trying to analyze. And you can see that in the journal entries in January of 2010. Is it possible that my spirit of disappointment or discontent stems from thinking that God is not doing what I think is best? Am I really challenging God in my spirit? Oh, to bow and magnify him no matter what. Cast my burden upon him and believe he really does care for me and is ordering what is best. So there's that. You can hear the unbelief in that struggle there. And then that kind of morphed into, I guess I could say, an anger or a disappointment with God, which I am saying stems from the root of unbelief. And here's an entry, February 3rd of 2010. I am quite sure my heart has been bound up with silent anger, a sort of deep disappointment with God. I'm still thinking this through and want it clearly identified and repented of. God is not worthy of my questioning. How can I bring glory to him if I am questioning? Trust, fear, rest. It has been difficult to really believe God loves me because of the way my life has unfolded. I must again find the answer to my questions of his love in and at the cross. And then February 15th, that same year, this world and history is under God. I must begin all thought with the premise that he has made all things and therefore can do with it as he pleases. He's not merely the rightful owner, he's the originator, creator, and sustainer. If I understand this, I will bow to him, listen to him, trust him, and rejoice in his unmatched love demonstrated in the cross. I must glory in the cross, for it is there I will see the fullest expression of his thoughts toward sin and toward me, the believing sinner. God is holy, God is love, God is light, God is faithful. And then the spirit of anxiety that, again, is all connected to this unbelief. Here's March 17th of the same year. I have been full of anxiety over many things. I have questioned God at every turn. And you can hear a theme through this, the questioning of God. I have doubted many things. I have been anxious. I woke at 4:30 this morning with Philippians 4:6 on my mind. Be anxious for nothing. I was given in that verse the answer to my anxiety. Trust God in prayer with thanksgiving. I felt as if God were answering my deepest need right now. I have sinned. He is gracious. And then the next day, I wrote this. Have enjoyed more peace in my mind, heart, this morning than in a long time. Is this due to confession of sin yesterday? With tears, I let the Lord know my perception of my anxiety as sin. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 has impacted me, applied by the Spirit. I see the need to take every question or concern that would lead to anxiety to the Lord in prayer, worshiping him alone and giving him thanks for answers that may be hidden in him. He has promised to guard my heart and mind with peace. Praise to him for the peace I presently know. So maybe that helps to answer the question. The struggle of unbelief wasn't at times there was the question, am I truly one of God's children? There was that. I did deal with that. But I believe that was because of that which the writer of Hebrews chapter 3 warns against, that evil heart of unbelief that actually separates us from God. It doesn't separate him from us, but us from him, and creates darkness. It can do nothing else but create darkness. And so when the sin is recognized, confession of that sin, and those questions that I refer to, the cosmic questions, which I'm convinced cause a lot of Christians problems, what I began to do is just ask those questions of God. I would just simply go to him and I would say, I mean, when it was an assault, when it was an all-out, I mean, a fiery dart, when I could tell this is a question that's coming at me to try to destroy me, I would turn that question to the Lord, and I would just ask that question. God, this is the question that's in my mind right now. Where it came from, I don't know, but I don't have an answer, and I'm coming to you with it, and I'm turning it over to you. And if there's an answer that I need to have, please give it to me. If you're not willing to give it to me now, I'll wait on you, but I'm going to leave it with you. And that's how I began to deal with those questions like that.
Could you differentiate between us separating ourselves from God and God separating himself from us? Because, as you know, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ globally who believe a genuine Christian can indeed lose his or her salvation, even if they are truly regenerate. We who are lovers and believers of the doctrines of sovereign grace would reject that wholeheartedly, but people might be confused by hearing that. They may think that, as many Arminians do, for instance, that you can voluntarily jump out of Christ's hand, but he will never let you loose from his hand voluntarily. It's us that jumps out and loses our salvation.
Yeah. I would answer that with just one scripture, and that would be Romans chapter 8, which tells us that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if I am in Christ Jesus, I didn't put myself there. He put me there, and I can't get myself out of something that I didn't put myself into. But unbelief can separate me from the sense or the realization of that relationship, and it's the most miserable. A true believer will be just absolutely miserable in that condition, and as I was, and will not be willing to stay there, and will fight. And I can say some more things about that, but you cannot lose that which you didn't earn. It's a gift.
So when we separate ourselves from God, I'm assuming then you mean that in terms of what we think and what we experience, we are bringing upon ourselves when we separate ourselves from God, the emotions that would accompany somebody that is lost, at least temporarily we would experience that.
Yes, that's what I believe was my experience, and what I see in the scriptures, I see in the Psalms, and I see even the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. There's that sense of there's a warning there of them losing something. I don't believe it's losing their salvation, but losing the sense of his presence, which he calls his presence. I mean, he stands at the door and knock. He's outside. He's on the outside of a church like that. That's a dark place, but the thing is, a true believer is going to feel that darkness. Those who aren't truly born again, I don't know that they really care. You know, it's not much of an issue as long as they have their religious programs, as long as they've got their religious trappings, you know, as long as they're in Christian America, and they're so on and so forth. I don't know that there's a big issue, but when you know that what you have had in your relationship to God, the communion you have had with God in the depths of your soul, and you feel or sense that evaporating, that's a place of horror for the child of God.
And we have to go to our final break, a much shorter break than the last one. If you have questions that you'd like to ask of Pastor Kyle White on the Dark Night of the Soul, please do so now because we're running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And you may remain anonymous if your question is involving a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We'll be right back with Pastor Kyle White and the Dark Night of the Soul.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm Executive Director of John MacArthur's Media Ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic of biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, But since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.org. NYC. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
And what perfect theme music, A Mighty Fortress, to lead into a reminder of the Reformation Conference. Why the Reformation Still Matters, to be held at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th. Why the Reformation Still Matters is the theme, and the speaker is Mike Abendroth, who is an author, a conference speaker, a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and also the pastor of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. The sessions begin at 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 6th, followed by a 3:20 p.m. session and a 4:35 p.m. session. And then on Sunday, October 7th, the sessions are at 9:15 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and then 6:30 p.m. For more details on the Reformation Conference at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, go to gracebfc.com/conference. That's GraceBFC, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church.com, /conference, or you can call Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at 717-652-5229. 717-652-5229. Grace Bible Fellowship Church is located on 1250 Colonial Road in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Please make sure you tell the folks there that you heard about them and their conference from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guest, Pastor Kyle White of Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas. We are discussing The Dark Night of the Soul, and we have Christian in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, and Christian asks, I have many friends who are fundamentalist Baptists who I dearly love, and I believe that they are right on the money on many things, but some of them, not all, would say that if a person is doubting their salvation, that is evidence that they are not saved to begin with. Would you concur or disagree with this?
Would I agree with that?
Right.
Is that because you kind of cut out on me? No, I would not agree with that. I would respond that there will be a lot of folks in hell because they presumed that they were saved. I don't think doubting your salvation is a ticket to hell. I think doubting your salvation, especially if you're truly saved, will lead to a confirmation of the faith that is in you.
Yes, I would agree. And of course, doubting your salvation, don't you think that, especially if one is in the midst of unrepentant sin, that's obviously something that every Christian, that should be the conclusion that every Christian comes to, even if in the reality they are truly among God's elect. They should not think that way or feel that way while they're in the middle of unrepentant sin. Would I be right on that?
Absolutely. I know of no scripture that would lead me to be satisfied with my profession of faith when I am satisfied with my sin. That doesn't fit the view of scripture, and there are many scriptures. That's a kind of goes into another subject, but yeah, that's. I think the thing with depression or the dark night of the soul that we're talking about, it may be set on because there is sin that God is wanting to reveal in us. And I think that's one of the purposes of it. I don't think it's the only purpose. But coming out on the other side of a season like that, I can tell you is your faith is actually strengthened, and your life has changed. I am not the same person today that I was then before I went through that season, and I believe that I am convinced that God took me through that. I'm not. I don't think that I just dove into it. Who would dive into something like that? Who would want something like that? You know, I didn't walk into it. Reality is, I don't think I would ever want to go through that again. And yet, knowing what it has produced, and what I have learned, even in my ability to be able to minister to others, it's changed my spirit. It's changed my attitude, increased patience with others, and being able to empathize with people that I would not have been able to empathize with before.
And of course, I'm assuming you would agree that sometimes our fundamentalist Baptist friends are correct if somebody says that I don't know if I'm saved or not, that they could be correct on that they aren't, that they are not saved.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, we have a... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What did you have something else?
I just had another listener with a question.
Okay.
We have an anonymous listener who says, even if we who are Reformed or Sovereign Grace believing Christians believe in the liberty to drink alcohol moderately, don't you think that in the midst of depression, this could be a very dangerous thing to dabble in? I can concur with that because, unfortunately, I, after 18 years of sobriety as a Christian, fell deeply into alcohol addiction or drunkenness in a very wicked way, and it really destroyed my testimony with many people. I hope one day I'm able to repair my testimony and my reputation with some of these folks. I don't know if I ever will. I'm mainly speaking of unbelievers who know me. Yes, this is. Don't you think that is absolutely correct? That if you are experiencing a depression and you start thinking that you're medicating yourself by making yourself feel better with alcohol or anything else for that matter, that's a drug of any kind. This is a dangerous road.
Well, it really is. What's happening is what fundamentally happens with most everyone is we're depending on our feelings. We want to feel good. All of us want to feel good. We want to have, and we want to, but God does not call us to live by our feelings. And this is one of the points that I strongly emphasize is the fight of faith. We've been called to a fight of faith, not a fight of feelings. And our feelings cannot be depended on. They can't be trusted. I believe that I like feelings. I want them. But I am not going to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed in order to get them artificially. And I think, your test, I can't say really any more than what you've already said to testify against that. Amen.
Well, what I'd like you to do now, before we go to any more listener questions, I would love for you to spend some time uninterrupted. You can feel free to take your time, because I really want what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today to be said before we run out of time.
Yeah. Fundamental biblical truth that was given to me, and it's a familiar, Proverbs 3:5, trust not unto your own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding. That was something that was huge to me. I didn't trust my own thinking. I didn't trust my feelings. I was pressing myself to the Word of God. And I would say that anybody who is struggling with depression, regardless of the degree or regardless of the label that's placed upon it, believe God. Just simply believe God. Do not separate yourself from the Word of God. The fight of faith, faith that is anchored in the Scriptures. And I can, you know, I've got journal entries that I can show. That's what happened in my own journey for the several years, that it was a fight of faith. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says we're engaged in. And it was also fighting in prayer, which is a part of that faith, not only the Word of God, but prayer, and a fighting in prayer, because sometimes when your emotions are down and you're struggling, it's hard to pray. And so the prayers don't have to be complicated. They need to be honest, and they need to be, I would just say, simple. And sometimes, because you're in a season like that, theologically disoriented, even, it can be with questions, the cosmic questions, take that to the Lord, give it to Him in prayer. I am, one of the things that I noticed in my journal is the expressions of prayer. Here's April 1st. I continue to call upon the Lord for help. If He does not visit me, then I am without hope. I seek to apply myself to means ordained for my soul's good, but continue to wrestle with emotions that are not satisfied. God, please forgive me and keep my mind from giving in to plaguing mysteries regarding your government of your world. I want to worship you in your holiness, not in my evaluation of your government. You are right, good, and worthy of praise. And that's what I would continue to do, is just express the things that I knew to be true, even though I didn't feel them. You know, that's what faith is, I believe. It's laying hold of that which you know to be true, regardless of what your feelings tell you. And then hope, keep hoping. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, Psalm 42. And that was a huge issue for me. Somebody told me along the way, don't lose hope. If you lose hope, you've lost. And so I had these expressions. God is helping me. He has not forsaken me, even in times that I have not sensed His presence. But lately I have sensed His help. I have peace. Thank you, my Father, for what you're doing. Like a raging storm, thoughts questioning God came back yesterday afternoon, greatly disturbing my peace. I'm calling upon the Lord again this morning and trusting that peace will return. This is a miserable way to live. Faith is being challenged. He will give me victory. He will not lose. You can hear that, those expressions of hope in God. And I would encourage that in anybody who is struggling with a season like this. I have another entry here that may be helpful. I have not written in a while. My less frequent entries, I trust, is a sign of my spiritual improvement. I once wrote out of desperation, never feeling very strong, and thus regularly thinking of any low estate, I do not feel those depths of despair now. I'm thinking more clearly. I'm thankful to God for saving me and keeping me. I am His and He is mine forever. And maybe I can just throw out, I don't know how much time we have left, but just a few practical thoughts here.
Oh, definitely.
If someone is struggling, here's what I would, this is what I point to as so significant for my own journey. Intercessory prayers of others. Others knew what I was going through, and they were praying for me. I would get notes from people that I didn't even know knew what I was going through, but word spreads, and they would tell me, I'm praying for you. And at those times, I would just it would just hit me, that's why I'm being sustained. That's why I haven't fallen off the wagon, so to speak. That's why I'm continuing on. And then the faithful exhortations of saints, the fellow preachers and others, they would exhort me, and that was so critical. And then the incredible support of the church. Brother, I can't overemphasize. I love the one spot you were talking about, how people need to be committed to a local church and you wanted to help. That, to me, is one of the most significant things. People, when they're going through emotional struggles, often isolate and they hide themselves and they want to separate themselves. That's the worst thing that you can do. Do what you don't feel like doing and engage and be a part. I was a pastor, so I guess you could say had to go to church, you know, and I don't know what I would have done had I not been a pastor. But there were times where I came and I didn't want to come, you know, but I did. And I'm telling you, this church and a faithful church is critical to the support of somebody who's going through something like this. And don't keep it silent. Let others know you're going through it so they can go through it with you, help to bear the burden. And then look outside of yourself to the needs of others. That was huge. I forced myself to be involved in the lives of others, even when I didn't feel like it. And that's a whole other story that I could get involved with, and I won't. Because I knew that if I were to pack it all in and isolate my thoughts and keep my vision upon myself, that was going to lead to destruction. And maybe let me just suggest several books that I found helpful.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay. The first is A Case and Cure of a Deserted Soul by Joseph Simons, written in the 1600s, published by Sola Deo Gloria.
Wow.
And it's probably was perhaps the most helpful book that I read. Those men back in that day were beyond, they knew more than the doctors of our day. Amazing how some of them understood the soul of man in relationship to God and this whole conflict. Very good. Spiritual Depression by Lloyd Jones, one that many know. I read that a couple of times. It was helpful. No Condemnation in Christ Jesus by Octavius Winslow. It just stirred my soul. It took my attention, it put my attention upon Christ, and that's what is so desperately needed. And then a book called Depression by Ed Welch. That is when I realized what I was experiencing was a form of depression. I read that book and I couldn't put it down. This man was describing everything that was going on inside of me, and I just wept. It's like somebody understands. Depression by Ed Welch. And then finally, a book called A Grace Disguised by Gerald Sitzer, Sitter. That was helpful. A man who experienced some incredible losses of his family and the journey through his theological struggles and how he came through all of that, what I would call a dark night of the soul for him, and it's his journey through that, and it was very helpful.
I can add one to that. Dr. David Murray, who's on the faculty at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he wrote an excellent, a very brief volume called Christians Get Depressed Too. So if you want to make note of that, David Murray, Murray, and it's Christians Get Depressed Too. So I hope that you look that up.
I read his book called Reset and knew that he dealt with those issues. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have everything they need to know to get a hold of you. I know that your website, again, for Community Baptist Church of Elmendorf, Texas, is cbcweb.net, cbcweb.net. Do you have any other contact information?
Well, if somebody wants to email me, I'll respond as I have opportunity, but it's cbcelder59@gmail.com.
Great. And I want to thank once again Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, for helping me arrange this interview with Pastor Kyle White of Community Baptist Church in Elmendorf, Texas. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, brother. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in their questions. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.